Welcome to Let's Get Local Wilmington, the podcast where I deep dive into the stories of local business owners, entrepreneurs, and some of the best people I know who are shaping the community and making waves in the business world. Each episode, I'll bring you inspiring conversations with the movers and shakers of our town, uncovering the secrets behind their success, the challenges they've overcome, and the valuable lessons they've learned along the way. I'm your host, Jen Richardson, and I am beyond excited to share this story with you today. Let's dive into the episode. Hello and welcome to the Let's Get Local Wilmington podcast. I am here with Jeff Sawyer from Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Carolina Premier Properties. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here, Jen.
Thank you. So I thought we'd start by, first of all, tell me a little bit about where you're from, what brought you to Wilmington and when, and then we'll talk about what you do professionally.
Sure. I grew up in mostly the Northeast. My dad was an executive with Corning, and we moved around a lot. Where we lived was in Corning, New York, which is upstate New York, and moved here in 1987. My parents decided to start a real estate company and retire in a place that they wanted to retire long term. So we moved literally the day I graduated from high school, moved here that summer, and then my parents started a real estate company. So that's how we got to Wilmington.
Fantastic. Okay, great. And tell me about what you do professionally. What is your role within Berkshire Hathaway Home Services?
I'm the owner and the president of the company, and my job, you know, in a nutshell, is to set direction for the company on a yearly basis, and, you know, and then provide, you know, vehicles of how to get there and how to help people, our agents, hit their goals. And then I think at the end of the day, provide a lot of energy and support to be able to do that. So from a big picture, obviously it's a lot about strategy, but as I said, a lot of energy to the organization to help people hit their goals.
Awesome. And you do a great job of that. And we'll talk about that in just a minute.
Thank you.
So my next question was really, how did you get started in the real estate world? It sounds like it kind of fell into your lap. Is that it was a part of your life?
It did. So it's interesting because my mom actually, the reason they picked real estate of all things to start a business in is my mom actually sold real estate part-time in the 80s. And okay. So my dad had a position in more in leadership. My mom was sales. And so we always had a little bit of that background growing up. When they started the company, I actually, at the time, had zero interest in getting into business.
What did you want to do?
Well, it's funny because I went to Clemson University and then I worked for the Gallo Winery after college for about 7.5 years. And I loved that career. It was I was in their management training program. So not only was it leadership, but also, you know, learning how to sell things at the end of the day. And so I did that. And really in 97, which about 10 years after my parents started, they were at a point that they said, hey, we need to start thinking about what we want to do with this company. So they really, really did a good job selling me and Paige, my wife, on, hey, this would be a good opportunity. So that's how we got in the business originally. And that was in 98. So that 25 years ago, basically.
You know, I've talked to a lot of people recently, and so many people got into the real estate industry in 98, 99.
Yeah.
Why was that?
I don't know. You know, particularly in Wilmington, you know, I think we've obviously always been in a great place to be, but but something about the end of that decade was when I, at least, and certainly my parents always reference, when you really started to see an enormous amount of people start to discover Wilmington.
Mm-hmm. So there was an opportunity.
It was. And so as more people were discovering it, it became a very viable choice of getting into the market and getting into real estate, because it really was such an influx towards the end of that decade, which has obviously lasted for the last 25 years. So a lot of that is just the market needing that during that time.
For sure. Jeff, did you start out in leadership, or did you start out in sales?
I started out in sales. Okay. So my parents, one of the things, even though we knew long term that was the plan to eventually run the company, was to understand what this job was.
Yeah.
And if you're going to lead and give direction and coach and mentor and do all those things, you have to have a good idea of what you're doing. So
for
the first year to 18 months, I sold. Absolutely loved it. And after that, then I transitioned from less and less sales, more and more leadership. And that was really all, that was the plan to begin with. And it just happened to work out, you know, as we kind of drew it up.
Yeah, I love that. I definitely love that. Jeff, what are some current trends that you're seeing in our Wilmington area market?
I think the trends we're seeing are pretty much the same that we're seeing across the country at this point. Obviously, we have high interest rates compared to what we've seen for over a decade now. So obviously, we see that. We see an enormous amount of inventory shortage that we're seeing. You know, it's the first time, historically speaking, that interest rates have gone up as much as they have, and inventory hasn't followed it. So we're in unprecedented territory from that perspective. And, you know, not that buyers like paying a 7-8% interest rate. It really isn't a buyer issue. It's a seller issue at this point. And there are just so many sellers. I think last report was 65% of sellers are sitting at a sub 5% interest rate. And so for them to make a decision to move, which clears up inventory, their payment, let's just say you wanted to go up 25% in a better house. So you're at 2,000 square feet, you want to go to 2,500. The time you look at doing that and you look at the mortgage adjustment, you're getting about a 25% increase in what you had and you're doubling your payment. Yeah. And so until that disparity changes to some extent, I think we're going to be in a very, very similar position. And it will change. Yeah. I mean, at some point, your wants and needs as a seller overcomes what that interest rate, and you say, hey, look, I got to get to a better school. I need the following things for my family. So you'll see those things change. It's just not going to happen overnight.
For sure. And I think that's why it's important for us as real estate brokers to give information.
Absolutely. You know,
that is our job, is to provide really good information.
Absolutely.
So they can make the best decision for their families.
Yep.
And there are so many different facets into that decision-making process. When I meet with my clients that are considering that and say, hey, my home is not meeting my needs anymore, what should I do? Does it make sense to sell? Does it make sense to buy something new? Does it make sense to rent?
Yep.
You know, we look at all these different avenues of what's your home likely to rent for? Can you offset the current mortgage? And that's what my husband and I, we both personally did that. Yep. And it made sense for us because our home wasn't fitting our needs. We also were sitting on a 2.5% interest rate
that
we refinanced in 2020. So that house cash flows for us now. And you and I had this conversation months ago, you know, and I said, Jeff, one of my goals is to purchase an investment property. And you said, Jen, you did in 2015. And oh my gosh, that was just so profound. And it just cleared everything up. Yep. So I appreciate that tip.
But you still have to do it. And yeah, part of the things on those scenarios that thinking about it is a lot of people wake up and they're risk adverse in life. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just it. And so having that ability to say, we're going to do it and mm-hmm. take a chance is huge. And that's what you did.
Yeah.
And that's much harder than any advice or anything that you get in life, but having the courage to go do it. And it's turned out great for your family.
It's been wonderful. I mean, just seeing my daughter go and play with the neighbors every day and
not
have to worry about if she's safe. And I mean, it's a wonderful decision for our family.
That's
so
right.
I love that. Let's talk about client relationships. So I believe that client relationships are absolutely everything. What is a strategy that you might encourage someone in a service-based industry, similar to real estate, you know, to nurture those relationships?
You know, whenever we think about, you know, from our industry perspective of best practices, I always think of as a consumer first. And when I think back at my very best experiences from a consumer, and whether it's buying a product or using service, what is it that was memorable about that situation? And so to me, I think number one is you've got to anticipate forever people's needs. Is if you're going to be a relationship-based person, you've got to always be anticipating whether somebody has a need today or tomorrow or in 6 months or a year. And as you said, hey, provide people with information on a consistent basis. And so you've got to be great at anticipating forever with your clients.
So anticipating their needs. So you have a funny story, and I'm going to throw you a curveball here,
sure.
But you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Talk to me about your Publix bread experience when you went to Publix.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one. Yeah.
I will never forget that story.
Yeah, so I went into Publix, and it was probably a year ago or so, and I was looking at the getting buns, and I only needed two of them at the time. And I remember looking at them, and I didn't ask anything, but somebody could see me looking for whatever wasn't there. And so the bakery department, one of the ladies there came over to me and she said, you look confused. What's going on? I said, you know, I really only need two hamburger buns and I'm just trying to see if there's another solution. And she says, I'm going to find one for you. And she took the bag that I was looking at. She took out two buns and said, here's your two buns. And that just fixed a solution.
Yeah.
They were ahead of the curve for me. I only shop at Publix now, by the way.
Right, of course you do.
Yeah, and so it was great. So,
yeah.
But on the customers, you know, on the client retention and having those relationships, I do think you have to anticipate. I do think you have to be incredibly proactive in staying in touch. And I also think this, particularly in our industry, is if you wake up every day and you treat past clients, you treat friends and family, that it's not a monetary gain at the end of the day. It's that I've chosen to be of service to people. You'll always win. At
Absolutely.
The end of the day. And so that's the other thing is you have to have a mentality that says this has nothing to do with a financial gain. It's that I've made a decision in my life to be that type person. And when you do that, great things will typically happen to you.
Well, that's a great segue into my next question, which, you know, I love working with our firm. what is something that you're super proud of providing, you know, by way of support to our agents? Because you guys deliver so much support to our agents.
First of all, you're kind.
Thanks. I'm trying to keep my job, Jeff.
So almost everything we do is a group effort, from our sales associates to our support staff to leadership. And so when I say when I think about things that I'm pretty proud of, it's because everybody participated. Back in the 90s, I think about my mom and dad. One of the things that they really put into place when I wasn't here was that they really valued mentorship and they valued coaching. And they always said, back then, you know, coaching and all that was not a big deal, was not a big thing. And it's really only in the last 10 to 15 years that that has really gained so much momentum. But my parents said, why can't we teach or train our leadership team to be really good at doing that and then provide it to our sales associates? And today, I think at last count, we have 68% of our company that's in some formal coaching and mentoring. And why that is so significant is because in anything in life, if you're in a mentoring, accountability, coaching, you're basically saying, I want to get better. I want to be better at what I'm doing. And you're also saying, I'm okay getting naked in front of somebody and having somebody say, these are some things you got to be better at and do. And so when you have that amount of people that sign up for that process and say, I want to get better, that says everything, in my opinion, about the people that work at our organization. So, you know, that's something I'm proud of. I'm proud of the fact, from a monetary perspective, we just crossed over the $1 million mark of matching 401k funds with our sales associates.
Amazing.
Which is just, you know, that. When we started that 30 some odd years ago, we would have never guessed. But again, if you look at it, while we're matching the money, our sales associates are putting money in.
They're putting money in, which means that they're making money.
That's 100% right? Correct. So those are, you know, and I could go on with a million of them, but those are some recent things that I think about that are just very near and dear to my heart and I think are pretty special with our organization.
For sure. So leading into my next question, you know, as realtors, we're so closely connected to our communities. What is a local organization that's near and dear to your heart?
Yeah, so, you know, the one thing I was fortunate growing up, and I give my mom a lot of credit for this, is I was in the Boy Scouts early on. So, and I became an Eagle Scout. And if you've got an Eagle Scout in your family, you realize your parents had a lot more to do with that than you did, because there's a lot of push.
There's a lot of involvement.
There is. And yeah. So that really shaped some values and some things for me, created friendships. You're talking about 40 some odd years ago that I have today. And I just always believed in the principles of that organization. And both my brothers are Eagle Scouts. My son is an Eagle Scout, my brother's son. And what's really neat is it's now both boys and girls. And my niece, my other brother's daughter, is going to be an Eagle Scout as well. And so it's just something that we just, as a family, it's been something near and dear to our heart. And I think it really establishes just great women and men, or girls and boys at the time, to really get started on the right track in life and a great foundation. So that's really what's been near and dear to my heart.
I love that. What advice would you give to a buyer in today's market?
You know, I would give the advice that I've learned, you know, for the 25 years as a buyer in any market, is don't try to time stuff. Don't make assumptions. Don't wait on this is going to happen, this is going to happen. If you're a buyer, you're a buyer. And whatever those parameters are to buy a house today, you need to buy into it. And what I will tell you is, you know, I bought several properties in 04, 05, 06, which was the height. You couldn't pay more for a property besides the last couple of years, obviously, but back then, and the equity in those things went incredibly down during that time. And so clearly it wasn't timed right. But when I look at it now today, every one of those properties have doubled in value. And they've all done extremely well. I've had other people pay the rent in those properties. So whether you're an investor or you're an end user, don't waste time timing things. And the most important part of that is we live in one of the top places in the entire country. We will always be there. So buying a property today, if you need a home and you're okay purchasing versus renting, jump in and don't spend a lot of time trying to time things.
For sure. And that makes a lot of sense because, you know, real estate is not a short-term investment, first of all.
Yeah.
And when you purchased those properties then, and I'm sure that you had some doubts when you saw, you know, the market going, the pricing diminishing, right?
Yep.
And you said, oh my gosh, what did I do? Did I overpay? Yep. Is this ever going to recover? And look at it now.
100% correct.
That's
great. And I think it's the same thing if you're an end user, you're not looking to invest in stuff, is, you know, the only caveat I would say is if you know you're not going to be here in the next couple of years, and you know you're risk adverse, meaning you would never rent that property out, then you should rent, obviously. obviously.
For sure.
That's a whole different category. But today, I would tell people it stinks that interest rates are at 7.5%, 8%. Yeah. It stinks. There's not a lot of inventory. But if interest rates drop to 4% tomorrow, mm-hmm. how many more people jump into the market?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. How much more competition? Yeah. How much more? So if this is your time, make mm-hmm. and don't get in the way of yourself.
Exactly. And if interest rates go up to 9.5%, then you're probably priced
100%
out,
right.
You know. Yep. What about a seller? What would you tell a seller in today's market?
Hurry up and get your house on the market because you
I
need
agree.
Inventory.
yes, please.
Yeah. So. You know, with sellers, I will tell you a trend that we're seeing that is a little bit interesting is we're pretty high today, much more so in the last 3 or 4 years, of houses that have fallen out of contract. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, almost everything was closing during the COVID period. Yeah. And now we're getting back to the 25 to 28% of every contract that doesn't go mm-hmm. to closing. And most of the time, you know, it's always going to come down to two things. Is it a money issue? Did financing fall apart? Is there a problem with the house?
Right.
So I would go through the process today as if so many, if not so many, but a chunk of houses are not going through, I would put your house in the very best position, whether mm-hmm. it's a pre-inspection, and get the things lined up so that you really eliminate one of the outs for a buyer.
Absolutely.
And get it in the very best position possible and get it in the
Absolutely. And, you know, having those conversations with my seller, it almost feels like the same conversations that I was having in 2017, 2018.
That's a great analogy.
You know, you do have to, you can't just have a pulse and sell your home.
Yep.
Unless you've grossly underpriced it.
Yep, that's
right? And, you know, so you have to have someone that's in your corner that knows how to give you the best advice and that they're not afraid to give you that best advice.
Yep.
I read a stat that something like 85% of agents that are selling right now have sold 0 to 2 transactions their entire career.
Yep.
And not saying that they can't be great agents. You know, I had my first day too. But, I mean, that's, you know, you want to have someone that is knowledgeable. You want to have someone that's backed up by great leadership and great advice and that yeah. knows how to walk you through that process.
Yeah.
I think that that's so important. Jeff, you know, if on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate investing in real estate for a person in their 20s to 40s?
11.
11. Do it right now.
It's 100% yeah. 11. And again, I'm obviously prejudiced about it, but mm-hmm. I have seen what it has done to people. I see what it's done to you.
Yeah.
And I just believe it outperforms most of the time mm-hmm. so many other investment arms. And if you want to build wealth in a fairly quick amount of time, and particularly, again, I keep going back to where we live, our location is so good and so popular, and we're against water, which means we're pretty limited on where you can live, and so that is something that's always going to be in great demand in our marketplace. So I would unequivocally put it at 11.
For sure. Collaboration is also something that's really big in our industry. So who are a couple of key partners with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services that you collaborate with and that set our clients up for success?
Yeah. So, you know, we've got some really good partners. We have a title company, Shoreline Title, which is awesome.
They provide really great customer service,
really
right?
Really great customer service and really provide comfort, obviously, to the buyer to having insurance on their property on title. Prosperity Mortgage, they are beyond phenomenal for us. And, you know, you talked about customer service. I've never seen a company that has valued that more than anything. And for us, I think you were talking to Anthony at some point. Mm. He's the most genuine individual. And that whole company I found to be that way. And so when we refer them to a client, we are referring somebody, in my opinion, of our equals when it comes mm-hmm. to customer service. And we think they're great. I like 210 Home Warranty.
Yeah. You know,
we've been with them for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And they're another company that it's a great resource for us. And obviously on both sides, the buyer and the seller, they've been great partners with us over the years.
So. For sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I definitely utilize all three of those partners in my business and wonderful experience across the board.
That's great.
So, I love that. So Jeff, talk to me about what is your why? You always ask us our why. What's your why?
That's a great question. You know, it has changed. You know, when you're younger, there's a little bit of a rat race that goes on in your life and you're trying to get ahead and you're trying to raise a family and you're trying to do the right thing and you're trying to put yourself in a financially good position. You do all those things. And as you get a little bit older, the value you put on relationships is number one in life. And so for me, you know, my why is continuing to create a great relationship with all of our sales associates, to have a company that people love to work at and are enthusiastic at working at it.
Yeah.
And so, and again, not that the financial part and all those things aren't important, but, you know, my why is I just wake up every day and I love being with the people that are part of our organization. Mm-hmm. And I love helping people change their lives.
Absolutely.
It revs me up every day. I love doing it. And I think that'll be my why. buy for the rest of my life, quite honestly.
You know, I think that's fantastic. So can I talk, can we circle back to family really quickly?
Sure.
Because something happened. I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Sure.
Something happened a while back. You kind of had this viral video that went viral with your daughter's cat.
Yes, and that cat's actually with us right now.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, what's the cat's name?
Eloise.
Eloise.
Yes, Eloise. So my daughter, so I have always been anti-cats, and I don't know why. I think part of it because they just, I have never had an emotional tie to a cat.
Well, they're moody.
They are. They're on their own. And so, so anyways, she asked me, what do you think about getting a cat in New York? And so I didn't necessarily care, except I did realize when she comes and visits, she brings this cat along.
She's bringing Eloise.
Yeah, and so when this cat, I was taking a nap, and my daughter put the cat on top of me, and the cat actually laid there and went to sleep. And then my daughter took a video of it, and she put it on TikTok, and I think we had over 1 million views.
You guys went a little viral.
It was crazy.
It was so funny.
And that cat's with us because she was home for Thanksgiving, and then she's coming back to at Christmas, so the cat's staying with us. And I got to be honest, I like cats.
Okay, so you're going to get another one, right?
I think we will get a cat. I'm serious. Paige and I talked about this morning, is I think we will get a cat.
You should.
Yeah.
You should.
Yes, it did go viral.
Great. That's so funny.
That's
and
right.
I feel like you were a little low-key embarrassed about
that. I was very embarrassed, as I am right now.
I love putting this out there.
Yeah,
the
as
world,
I am right
so
now.
So you're welcome.
Exactly
I'll do what I can.
That's right.
So what are you currently reading or listening to right now?
There's a book I just started called Leadership Excellence, Stephen Covey, and I'm a big Stephen Covey fan. I haven't gotten into enough of it yet to give you a kind of a book report, but anything that he does, I think, is so valuable in life and
for
business.
Sure. And so he's one of the classic core.
Of all time. Of all time. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. What's your favorite local restaurant?
Good question. I think on the one side of town, I like Bridge Tender. Mm-hmm. I've always been a fan of Bridge Tender.
Nice views. Right?
What's that?
They got
great views.
Yeah.
Great, and I think the food's great.
Yeah.
I actually really like Benny's Big Time Pizza downtown.
On South Front.
Yes, I love it. And so, from a casual perspective, I think that's the best pizza in town.
They're really great. You know, the atmosphere's great. And what I love about that South Front district is that it's so walkable.
Yep.
You just park. You can go to Benny's. You can go to Satellite, Second Glass.
Absolutely right.
All of those different things. And then you have Block Taco. So if you have too much at Benny's and Second Glass and Satellite, you can go and get a couple of tacos from Block Taco.
And I've done it all in one sitting.
Yes, same.
By the way, I've done the entire loop. So
it's so fun down there. I love Wilmington, and I love that we have so many different pockets of town. It's just so great. So, Jeff, thanks for coming on the show. How should someone best get in touch with you or follow the firm?
Yeah, well, just Jeff Sawyer, and my email address, jsawyer@bhhscpp.com.
Perfect.
And I will say this, I would say this if you weren't here, Jen. You're the best. I mean, you really are. You're a great mom. You're a great wife to your husband. You have a great family. And I honestly have not seen somebody who has embraced and gotten so successful so quickly in this career as you have, Jen. And you're so genuine, and the customer service experience that you provide is second to none. You're unbelievable. And I think the other thing, and I just believe this in my heart, is you're so humble, you're so thankful, and you're so grateful, and you give so many people credit for everything that you do. That is such a special characteristic of yours, and I just think you're terrific.
Thank you. Well, thanks for making me cry on the podcast.
Well,
I really appreciate it. No, thank you. I appreciate your support. And I mean, you and so many people in the firm have been behind me, you know, for so long, since day one. So
you're
I appreciate that.
Thank you. You're welcome.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Let's Get Local Wilmington. I hope you enjoyed the incredible insights and stories shared by our amazing guests. A big thank you to today's guest for spending their time with me. If you found this episode as inspiring as I did, don't forget to show some love. Leave a rating or a review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback means the absolute world to me and helps me continue bringing you top-notch content. And hey, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.